Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. It's been about 2.5 months since the city of St. Louis paused alleyway recycling pickup, a decision made to keep pace with debris cleanup needs after the May 16th tornado. And last week, that pause ended with City Hall's announcement that it was stopping alleyway recycling pickup altogether.
More than half of the recycling waste that we are collecting in the alley dumpsters is not actually getting recycling for a whole host of reasons, but we are still paying the full price of that. That fine, as we've talked about in our hearings and in our briefings on this, the cost of eliminating the recycling waste is 5 times what we're paying for trash. And we are paying for that in the waste that we are collecting in the blue dumpsters. And so what we're doing here is really streamlining our service, our refuse collection, and making sure that we are freeing up our limited staff and trucks to make sure that we are collecting refuse in every neighborhood.
And that was Mayor Kara Spencer explaining the rationale behind the decision to halt alleyway recycling pickup. The end of that program has elicited a range of responses. Among them is approval from residents like Michi, who wrote, "Having observed the Blue Alley dumpsters overfilled with smelly garbage, tires, tree limbs, and everything else that shouldn't be in there, it was time to allocate our scarce resources to a manageable purpose. Grateful to a mayor who is willing to make practical decisions that may not be popular but necessary. Alley recycle dumpsters are a great idea whose time has not yet come." Another resident, Renee, expressed mixed feelings. "I'm sad that it will make it more difficult to recycle. With my small car, I will have to make frequent trips to recycling centers to drop off my stuff. But I'm happy because most of the folks in my neighborhood don't know how to use the recycle bins anyway. I've seen everything from insulation to food waste to car batteries in the ones in my neighborhood." We'd like to know your thoughts too. How do you feel about St. Louis ending its alley recycle program? If it's pause in the last few months change your habits, will you stick with those practices moving forward? Email us at talk@stlpr.org or give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. Now, to kick this conversation off, we're joined by Jess Watson. Jess is the executive director of Earth Day 365, a St. Louis nonprofit focused on equitable environmental sustainability through community education, partnership, and events. Jess, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Elaine.
So, Jess, what was your reaction to this announcement about the stop of the alleyway recycling pickup?
Well, I'm very happy that the city is taking this issue seriously and having public, it seems transparent, discussions about the topic. I am very disappointed that we haven't tried some other potential fixes before just ending it completely. And I think that there are many ways that we can do better. So I want us to commit to a better solution in the future.
Mm-hmm. And we'll return to that. What is it that, from your perspective, what does it mean for this program to stop for residents?
Well, I completely agree that we've had major problems with contamination for many, many years. But I think that the major issue for residents is going to be accessibility for our residents that may be elderly, may lack transportation, may be disabled. This often puts this completely off limits for those residents. And so I am very concerned about issues of accessibility, even for people who, like you heard the caller say, just have small cars, maybe have a small apartment and don't have storage space, have small children and just don't find a way to fit it in their schedule. I think it's going to impact many, many residents, and I think it will decrease the overall amount that's being diverted from the landfill.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any sense of whether those aspects of accessibility were considered when, you know, the decision was made, that is, to start the alloy recycling program?
I know that they weren't discussed per se. I know that one way that we could think that the city is making a concession to accessibility is the fact that they are trying to place drop sites within 1 mile of all city residents, and so they're increasing the number of drop sites for that reason. However, I still think 1 mile is a major accessibility issue for the people that I mentioned before.
Mm-hmm. And regarding accessibility, Melvin says, if you don't own a vehicle or don't drive, what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to use public transportation to get to collection sites? Is that something that people will do?
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. And then for those who are in that situation, what options are available?
I think it comes back to community again, getting together with our neighbors, doing it ourselves, figuring out ways that we can work together to find maybe a central collection spot that's maybe somebody has a garage, or we can alternate using people's cars and taking it in bulk. I mean, I think that the answer so often comes down to community, and I think that's what we're going to have to do here,
mm-hmm.
hopefully on a temporary basis. I do hope that the city can come up with a solution.
Mm-hmm. Before we continue, I want to go back a little bit. How is it just that we got to this point of stopping the program?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that when the city started in 2011, moving from drop sites to alley collection, they chose the wrong technology, to be honest. I think it really comes down to that, because alley recycling via dumpster has never been a way to create clean recycling. There's really no one-on-one responsibility, and so you don't know who is uneducated about it, or who is, putting things in there that shouldn't be in there. And so when people who have the best intentions and do sort their recycling and put it in there, when they see again and again that it's being contaminated, so it's not going to be picked up, that is demoralizing. And so I think it's a negative feedback loop that over time results in very, very low recycling mm-hmm. rates.
We heard from Ray, who said, the problem with dumping in our city is that so many people who run lawn and construction businesses don't want to pay dumping fees. Some of them aren't even from this area, so they don't care about clogging up our alleys or what bin they're using. What about that? Other people coming in and discarding their rubbish where they should not be?
Construction and demolition debris is a major problem within our entire waste management system, and not just in the city, but I think that we need to find separate ways to address the problem with those particular segments. And right now, they're driving a lot of illegal dumping, especially in vacant lots in North City. We see this very frequently. And so I think that we need to find some targeted policy that will address these areas specifically. And it's a separate issue from the residential recycling issue.
Mm-hmm. And then if we kind of separate the illegal dumping of things into these blue alleyway bins, there's also the problem of what people will put in there, even if those bins are assigned to their residences. Michael says, this recycling program wasn't complicated. There are pictures on the recycling dumpster of what to put in. To say that we will get this right for the residents of St. Louis misses the point. The onus was on the residents to get it right, and a segment of them chose to be lazy. And then Matt adds, I don't think this is an education problem that can be solved by tweaking. Too many people just don't bother and throw whatever in there. In terms of failure then, quote unquote failure of this program, is it less about the program itself and more a matter of, you know, culture or values?
I think that we can find a better structural solution at the municipal level that will encourage the people who want to recycle to be able to do it, and the people who don't want to recycle to be able to step away. So I would advocate for an opt-in roll cart system. And so you have responsibility for just a roll cart for your particular household. And then We can do education around that as well. They can do spot checks and they can see, they can reject a load and do an oops tag on it and say, oh, this one has plastic bags in it, so it's being rejected. And then they learn about that. And maybe there may be a fine associated if they do it multiple times. Maybe they stop their recycling. So I think opt-in is a way for the people who really want recycling to be able to get it and to not worry about the people who just don't want to recycle. Mm-hmm. And maybe we can increase those rates over time through things like culture change and education mm-hmm. to convince people that it is working and it does matter.
How would education, you know, how would it work? We heard from Leah, and she has a little bit more faith in the role that education can play. Insofar as changing behavior goes, Leah writes, rather than giving up, we should be prioritizing education so recycling becomes part yes. of the city's culture. Schools could be great partners on this by getting kids knowledgeable about sustainability early to reduce misuse of the bins. And before anyone says that's not possible, Leah adds, I taught in the city for 7 years and I did teach about recycling and sustainability. Every year my kids said, they'd had no idea what mm-hmm. the blue bins were for until I told them. And once I did, many of them told their families. So, I mean, are kids the future?
Always. I think that would make a huge difference. I think I know that kids go home and they say, hey, why aren't you doing this? This is a really basic thing, mom and dad. And then they teach their parents and they make their parents want to care about it. I know that through the Green Schools Quest, I've acted as a mentor to classrooms in the same way. And we did a food waste challenge and we figured out all of the food waste that was going into the trash just from one cafeteria day. And educated them about why this is a big problem, how it affects climate change. And they brought that back to their parents, you know. I could see the difference just from that one school. So I think that's a piece of it. As well, my organization does all sorts of education on this topic through providing event sustainability at over 40 events a year. So we talk to the people that are bringing up their compostable and their food waste, and we tell them, okay, this is actually trash. This, you know, we help them sort it. We help them understand what goes in which bin. And then there's, you know, Brightside's going out to all sorts of events all year and providing education in lots of other ways. So I think there are many ways that we could step it up if we actually provided more of a focus and more funding for this.
Mm-hmm. We need to take a quick break, but we'll be back shortly to continue our conversation about recycling in St. Louis. In the meantime, we'd like to hear from you. How do you feel about St. Louis ending its alley recycling program? Will the program's end change your habits moving forward? Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. You can also send us an email at talk@stlpr.org. We'll be right back. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
This is St. Louis Public Radio. Support comes from Para Corporation, a general contractor seeking professionals who want to make a difference in the community. More at parac.com/careers.
Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation about recycling in St. Louis and the city's announcement last week about the end of its program for alleyway recycling pickup. St. Louis is not the only place and not the first place in the region to end recycling collection. In 2022, the Rolla City Council voted to eliminate its curbside recycling program. They said that it was too expensive to keep doing home pickups, and they also had a problem with a shortage of employees in that department. So now, if residents want to recycle, they have to take it into the recycling center. That includes STLPR Rolla correspondent and newscast editor Jonathan All, who visited the Rolla Recycling Center last Friday.
I have a little system. I always start with the cardboard, and then I take my bin over to do the mixed paper. Man, my family eats a lot of mac and cheese. Even though Rolla is a relatively small town, there's always people at the recycling center. I don't know that I've ever come here and there weren't at least a few other cars here. So a lot of people in Rolla are still recycling even though there's no curbside anymore. It's another chore that I have to do. The recycling center is only about 2.5 miles from my house though, so it's not too far. But it does add, you know, another 15, 20 minutes to my weekly chores, but I don't know, feels like the right thing to do. So that's what recycling is like in Rolla. Thanks for coming along with me.
And that was STLPR's Rolla correspondent and newscast editor Jonathan All. Since Rolla City Council voted to eliminate curbside recycling pickup in 2022, he's been dropping off his family's recycling at the city center. Jess Watson is executive director of Earth Day 365, and she's here with us today to talk about St. Louis's joining Rolla as a city that no longer provides recycling pickup service. Is there anything about what Jonathan said, Jess, that stands out to you in any way?
Absolutely. Do we really want to join Rolla, a city of 20,000 people, as opposed to other cities like Kansas City, Austin, Baltimore, who I think would be similar mid-size level cities that are dealing with similar issues, but yet have figured out how to do recycling in a way that makes sense? You know, if we want to be respected as the city that we are and we can be, we really need a recycling program. You know, when people move here, they expect that. How are we going to attract young families? How are we going to attract, you know, new businesses if we don't really have this very basic service available? So I would just say that Rolla and St. Louis are very different case studies, and we're a much bigger metropolitan area, and it's an expectation.
How do you feel about St. Louis ending its alley recycling program? Like Jonathan, have you taken your recycling into a center for drop-off? What has your experience been like? Join our conversation by calling 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. And we have Jana from Wentzville on the line. Jana, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Hi, Elaine. How are you?
I'm well. Go ahead and share with us what's on your mind.
Well, I want to commend St. Louis for having a recycling program. I live in Wentzville. We have no recycling. You just, you know, if you throw your regular trash in the dumpster, and then maybe they think about doing cardboard. But what I wanted to just point out is, let's think about what we're putting in the trash to begin with. Let's cut down on those plastics. You don't need to, you know, have newspapers stacked up forever and ever, because, you know, everything goes into the landfill. And I just, you know, I'm a retired research biochemist, and I think let's go to the source here. But definitely St. Louis needs a recycling program. I think you guys have done a pretty good job along the way. There's certainly room for improvement. But I enjoy your show very much, Elaine.
Thank you so much, Jana. And thank you for calling in with that insight. I mean, not creating as much trash certainly is one way to reduce the need for recycling. What do you make of that?
I have no arguments there. I think that we have to look at the bigger picture, and we have to think about our overall consumption habits. All of us can just produce less waste and focus on buying things in less packaging, focus on buying things more locally. All of that will help in producing less overall waste. But we can also take a step back and realize that the onus can't just be on the individual in these cases. We also need to hold our manufacturers responsible, and we need to make sure that we keep extended producer responsibility in the picture, in the conversation. And that's a bigger policy discussion, but that's making sure that they produce things that are in less packaging, are easily recyclable, aren't mixed materials, things like that, and that they actually pay money for that kind of helps local municipalities like St. Louis have recycling systems. So I have hopes that we can tap into some of that in order to bring our recycling system back.
Mm-hmm. And one of the people who wrote in about the way things are done a little bit better and where that onus goes is Lois, who says, one city with a successful recycling program is Austin. Mm-hmm. We need government ordinances, which they have in Austin, manufacturer's responsibility, source reduction, and the elimination of most single-use plastics. The burden cannot be on the public or consumers to manage recycling. It just does not work. Is the case of Austin one that is familiar to you, Jess? And is it an example that we can take here in St. Louis? Is it applicable here, what they've done?
I think there are many things that we can learn from Austin. I really love that they have a zero waste policy adopted at the city level, and many of the other cities that we've looked at have actually adopted those larger plans, because recycling is just one piece of the picture. I know I'm here advocating for us to keep a recycling program, but you also really have to think about making sure that you have zero waste infrastructure, that you have reuse hubs, that you have people thinking about like reducing consumption in general. So mm-hmm. it's just one piece of the overall picture. I would like to advocate for us to develop that zero waste policy as a city and as a region.
Mm-hmm. Since we are talking about recycling, there's an issue that comes up with contamination. So when I order a pizza and it comes in a box, usually there's grease that gets on that box. So what does contamination encompass when it comes to recycling and what cannot be recycled as a result of it?
I think different municipalities have different rules about what they accept and what they don't. Generally, we have to keep plastic bags out. We have to keep there's a lot of things. You have to kind of stick with the six, at least the way that we're doing it in St. Louis, even with the drop sites that we are continuing to have. So you have to stick with paper, flattened cardboard, plastic bottles and containers, glass bottles, metal food and beverage cans, and then the kind of milk carton container, the beverage cartons. Mm-hmm. Those are the six that we can use. Anything else is contamination. For the pizza box example, we tend to say if there's a grease spot that's less than your fist, then it is probably okay. If not, keep it out. I will often rip off the top of the box that's pristine,
right,
and recycle that, and then I put the rest in the trash.
Mm-hmm. Russell is joining us from St. Louis. Russell, what is your reaction to the alleyway recycling going away?
Hi. Yes. I've been recycler for 50 years, since my teen years, and I do it to the point of even pulling the plastic out of a tissue box after, and then folding the box up and discarding it and throwing the plastic separately. But I'm very much dismayed. And kind of at a loss of the not having the option of having my recycling. It's very hard for me to throw recycling things into the regular trash bin.
Mm-hmm.
I like the option that was talked about of having the containers, rolls and containers for each house, and then those who are good stewards of the recycling have the option of the recycling. I would really like for that option to become what the city decides to do.
Mm-hmm. Russell, do you go to drop-off recycling sites?
Yeah, I have done that prior to them doing the recycling in the city. I actually did that over by the city waterworks there at Kings Highway and 44. I did that for years prior to them actually putting the dumpsters in the alleyways.
Mm-hmm. And if I heard correctly, did you say you've been doing it for 50 years?
50, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm 69, and I started in my teen years recycling.
And was that here in St. Louis, or have you lived in other places and practiced your good recycling there?
Yeah, multiple places. I've been in the city since 93, but I grew up in O'Fallon, Missouri, and I lived in south of Ellsbury, Missouri for quite a few years also,
mm-hmm.
but I've been in the city since 93.
Yeah. Russell, thank you so much for calling and sharing that. Russell reached us at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. We invite you also to call in. Just what do you think of what Russell has shared?
It sounds like he's an avid recycler and shares my disappointment and kind of at a loss that our level of city wouldn't have a recycling system. But I hope that he's willing. It sounds like he is one of the ones that would be willing to go back to using the drop sites. Mm-hmm. I did want to make one other point about the glass category so that people understand. They actually don't really like to receive glass within single stream recycling, which is what we do, where it's all mixed and it just goes to the materials recycling facility, where it gets kind of separated on conveyor belts as it goes through the system, because glass breaks and it actually damages parts of the system. And so we now have another option here in St. Louis. There's a private company called Ripple Glass that has maybe about 13 drop sites, including one on South Grand behind the Commerce Bank there. And so that is a much better solution if you're able to just have a dedicated drop for your glass because you know it's going to get recycled 100% that way.
Yeah. And on the point about glass, we heard from Chris who says, I'm disappointed about the recycling program going away, that is, but I totally understand why they're doing it. Too often people put the wrong kind of trash into the wrong dumpster. I think this kind of applies to what you're saying about single stream. We've been using the drop-off site since they were established, but even those average 25% misuse. Why can't St. Louis get its act together? I love the privately run glass recycling dumpster behind Rooster. I don't know if that's...
it's the same one.
It is, okay.
But there are multiples around the whole region.
Right. It makes me feel like there's less chance of messing up.
It's true.
Yeah. Why is the messing up part such a big issue for so many people? Or is it a big issue for people?
I think there are many ways that we can make this system cleaner and easier. Even at the drop sites... you find that often the lids are left open accidentally, and then the rain gets in, and it will make the cardboard soggy, and then it's actually not recyclable. We could move to a dual stream system at those drop sites and ask people to just put the cardboard in one dumpster, just put the aluminum cans into one dumpster. That would really always results in higher recycling rates, lower contamination rates. Mm-hmm. And so these are just some of the smaller fixes that I think that we could do. And that's why I'm really advocating for us to kind of create this recycling task force that could help the city sift through some of the options and provide some guidance and also more citizen engagement.
Mm-hmm. We have Stacy, speaking of citizen engagement, who's joining us from St. Louis. Stacy, welcome.
Hi. I've lived in St. Louis City for over 20 years, long enough that we did not have dumpsters when we first moved into the city. And so we drove our recycling to the sublet YMCA, and we did that for years. This might not be a popular thing to say, but I'm actually proud of Mayor Spencer for confronting the fact that for months now, the garbage trucks have come through our neighborhood and they just dump the recycling in the same dumpster, in the same garbage truck that every other, you know, all the other dumpsters go into. So your brown dumpster and your blue dumpster all go to the same place. So I hate it that they're ending the program, but it hasn't been a program in months. And so I'd rather drive my recycling someplace so that I can actually put it someplace where it will be recycled versus the sham that there's a blue dumpster and something's going to happen to it that's not happening.
Mm-hmm. Stacy, thank you. We also have Colleen Starkloff, who's calling from St. Louis. Colleen is the co-founder of the Starkloff Disability Institute. Colleen, welcome.
Hi. Thank you so much. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes. We can hear you clearly.
I really feel strongly about not ending this program. I think it'd be better if the city were to do education. They can send flyers to us in our bills when we pay for the trash there are ways that they can educate people so they know the right thing to do. But my bigger concern, or my biggest concern, is for people with disabilities and seniors who will not be able to easily or conveniently drop off their trash. And if somebody has a personal attendant in their house who would take the trash out to the dumpster, they're not going to be able to ask those people to take the to drive in their personal car to recycle the trash. I thought it was so great when the city made it convenient for us all to recycle. And having been working in disability rights for so long, I know this is going to be a hardship for people with disabilities and seniors.
Mm-hmm. Colleen,
thanks
thank
for taking
you.
My call.
Yes, thank you. We also have Matt, who is calling from St. Louis. Matt, what is on your mind?
Hello. I just wanted to say that I, as much as I love recycling, I think it's a great idea. But I can understand how Mayor Spencer's cancellation of this program makes sense, because like your guest said, it puts the onus on the public, and that's frankly just never going to work. I work in property management and like maintenance of apartments and rental property, and I've so many alleys are just piled over with trash on the ground that's not getting picked up. And if we could put our city workers to use doing that, then, you know, we have a better chance of having a cleaner city in general. And also that I'm curious about what the city plans to do, because we have this phrase, reduce, reuse, recycle, and what I've come to understand that those go in order. So recycle,
yes,
being last on the list, like expecting the general public to pick up the slack on the tail end of the thing. Like, so what is the city plan to do to do reduction in single-use plastics?
Mm-hmm. Matt, thank you so much. Jess, reduce, reuse, recycling, that order?
Absolutely, that order. I've been working with a group of folks with Circular STL to try to found a reuse hub, which could bring together companies that are focused on recycling, for instance, buildings that are being demolished and housing it there, or a wash hub for like containers that are being used in schools or in stadiums, things like that. All of these could add up to a lot of reduction in what was going to the landfill in the first place, and it could be jobs and it could be revenue for mm-hmm. the city. So things like that, these innovative solutions are what I would love to put forward as part of a bigger zero waste policy.
Mm-hmm. Jane is calling from St. Louis. Jane, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I am so glad you are having this program. This is fabulous. And I think it's something that we all really need to deal with. I've lived in a few other states, and I have to say they're mostly blue states, where they seem to be more progressive about recycling and just the ideology about recycling and the environment. I have a dumpster situation. I would love to see them go to individual trash that doesn't depend on your neighbors who throw in trash in with the recycling and recycling in with the trash. Also, I do feel that charging people for recycling, I disagree with that. I think if you're going to give people, if you're going to make people take responsibility, you shouldn't be charging them, plain and simple. I'm also thinking about going to a private company, because I feel that, you know, oftentimes I have a big dumpster right behind my house. What I am doing nearly every week is cleaning up after everyone. And people come from other areas and dump things, big things.
Mm-hmm. Jane, thank you so much. Just Earlier, you had mentioned the proposal that you submitted to the city of St. Louis, and it suggests that they form a citizen-led task force, maybe with folks like Jane, that would be charged with determining why alley bins contain such a large amount of non-recyclable waste and how the cost of picking up recycling could be reduced or perhaps that there be no charge. What are the primary aspects of that proposal, very quickly?
Sure. I think there's a lot of very educated, well-informed professionals that work in this area in sustainability and in waste management that are ready and willing to talk about the best practices that they see in cities across the country, to present that research and to help sift through with the city on what could be the best fit. And so it's essentially a free consulting service, but it would also be open to concerned citizens and public civic leaders to join as well. I think they would be an important part of it. And so I hope that we could come up within 6 months with a proposal, a realistic proposal that could help us move back to a better solution for recycling, because I really, it's not acceptable that we let go of curbside recycling altogether. We need to have a promise from the city that they are going to come back to it in a better form.
Mm-hmm. Jess Watson is executive director of the St. Louis nonprofit Earth Day 365.
This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.